as in our Bibles, this is the calling of the first disciples. That is the calling of the first ones who are to leave the rest of their lives behind and to give their life day after day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day to his service. Now, this was not the first time that they got to know Jesus, not the first time that they believed in him. You might read this passage and you think, well, they're just strangers, and Jesus says, follow me, and they say, oh, okay. But no, they've known him. They've been following him. They've been learning from him. But now he calls them full time. These words really are about Jesus revealing himself. And he shows them who he is. Have you really seen who Jesus is? Because it's then that you'll desire to follow him. Then you'll see the need to follow him. Then you'll know who it is you're called to follow. In this passage, we see four things about Jesus. We start in verses 1, 2, and 3. We see Jesus, the teacher. Yesu Mwalimu. They were near the lake that's called Lake Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. In verse 1 here, it's called the Lake of Gennesaret, and it had different names. But if you read about the Sea of Galilee, or of Capernaum, or of Gennesaret, it's all the same one, a big fishing lake, inland, kama Lake Victoria. They were doing their work there. They were bringing in fish. And it was the morning. In the morning, there'd be people bringing in their boats, repairing their nets if they needed to, doing some cleaning, doing the trading, buying and selling the fish that had come in overnight. Night was a better time to fish. So in the morning, there were many people there. But on this morning, the crowds were wanting to hear the word of God from Jesus. Verse 1, the people crowding round him, listening to the word of God. And what did Jesus do at verse 2? Well, he took one of the boats that belonged to Simon, and he went out a little distance from the shore so that he could teach them. When they were all pressing in on him, it was hard to reach them and to teach them all. But when he got in the boat, he went a little bit out, then he could teach them more easily so that they could hear and could listen. He didn't have a pulpit, or he didn't have some great building he was teaching them in, or some platform at the front. He wasn't wearing a suit. But where he found the people, there he taught them. Because that was the work of the Messiah. He'd come to give light to all the people, not just those who were the kind of people who would be in the synagogues, but out there in the world, the people who never come into the doors of any church building. He came to give them all light. Wherever he found people, he was ready and he was willing to teach them. And because Jesus is a teacher, lazima tuwe wanafunzi, we must be students. We must be eager to listen and to learn from him. He's come to give us light. We need to get into that light, not to make excuses. Now, I'm very encouraged when I read these verses. Jesus just found the boat. He sat down and he taught the people there. Well, today we find ourselves in this little room. And we don't know where we'll find ourselves next week. But Jesus didn't say, hey, I can't teach you here. This isn't a synagogue. It's not right. It's not proper. No, he said, there are people, and it's my work to give them light. And so he taught them there. Don't ask, what's it made out of? How big is it? But ask, is it the word of God? Can I learn and can I feed? These people, verse 1, it says they were crowding round him. They were pressing upon him. They were so eager and hungry. Are we eager? Are we hungry for the word of God? Do we realize that we need his light? that we're weak, we're empty, that we're blind. We need the Messiah to come into our lives. We need the Saviour to give us what we lack. These people are a good example for us. They didn't just say, well, let me wait until it's the Sabbath day again and I can go to the synagogue. Today's a day of work. I'm busy. No, they said, Jesus, teach me. But most of these people, later they rejected him. Here we find crowds pressing on him. Later we find crowds walking away from him. And even crowds saying, crucify him, away with him. Many of these people listened without benefiting. How do we listen to the word of God? Is it just, well, it's interesting, but later we can walk away because it's just small with us? Or do we listen as those needing a Saviour, desperate, cry out for the Saviour to come to us? Now, let's look at verses 4 up to 7. And after teaching, Christ did something. He taught them with his words of his mouth. Then he showed them the power of his word. He showed them who was the one teaching them. Simon was there. Simon Peter. Also Simon Peter's brother Andrew. Also their friends, James and John, the two brothers, they're mentioned down in verse 10. And they knew him. They had said, he's the Messiah. Now they were there, washing their nets, probably getting ready to go and sleep, ready for the next night of fishing. But Jesus gave them a command. He said, go out and fish again. Take your boat, go out a little way, and put the nets down. Now, surprising command. Is the teacher a fisherman? Has Jesus come to teach them about fishing? What's he doing? And, well, it was a command that came after a hard night. Because, you see in verse 5, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. They were ready just to forget today's fishing and to go home, try again tomorrow. They were tired and they'd got nothing. But Peter gave a good reply. At verse 5, he said, but kwasababu umesema tutafanya kitu hiki. Because you, Jesus, have said, therefore we'll do it. Do you have that response to Jesus? Well, Jesus, siwezi kuelewa, lakini kwa sababu ni wewe na umesema nitatii. Because it's you, Jesus. Often we can't see. We can't see the way ahead. But the scriptures give us a command. The scriptures say it's that way. You look and you see, I can't see that way. But because it's you, Jesus, I'm going to start walking that way. That's what faith is. That's the faith that God demands from us. And so Peter did it. And there was a great catch, a mighty catch, verse 6. They caught such a large number of fish. Their nets began to break. They asked James and John to come over with the other boat so they could pull up the nets and share them, some in one boat, some in the other. But when they did that, verse 7, both boats began to sink down into the water. It was such a mighty catch. Jesus showed them he's the Lord of creation. Even the fish, even the seas obey him. He knows all things above, he knows all things on the earth, he knows all things in the waters. All things come and go at his command. The hard night of nothing, that didn't mean anything to Jesus. Even the creatures of the air and the sea, they come when he calls them. The one who was teaching about our lives in this world, he's the one who's the Lord of this world. And so he showed them that with a mighty miracle. Now, how would you respond if you're the fisherman? What would you think? Now, Simon, he looked at this. He thought about Jesus who was teaching them. And he saw the sign Jesus did. And he saw something new. He saw two things that were new. Look in verse 8. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Now first he saw something new in Jesus. He saw the authority of Jesus. He saw some of the divine glory, some of the heavenly glory of Jesus. That Jesus rules creation. Do you know Jesus is the Lord Almighty? Jesus is God Almighty, come down from heaven. The stars and the tiny mosquitoes, they all do His will. They come and they go when He commands. He's the Almighty, Holy God. Have you seen Jesus as He really is? So much more than a teacher and a worker of miracles. Those miracles point you to Him. And they tell you about Him. Do you see the message? Do you understand the message about Him? When you see Jesus as He really is, then also you see something about yourself too. That's what Peter saw. He said, I am a sinful man. When he's saying, depart from me or go away from me, he's saying, how can I stay in your presence? How can I come near to you? How can I come near such divine power and glory? And when you read the scriptures, you find many people saying these things. When they see something of God, they say, how now can I live? Samson, Katika Egano Akali, Wazaziwake, Waleumpa Malaika Yamungu, Na Walesema, Tutakufa. Or rather, his father, Baba Yake, Ali Sema, Anita Kufa, Kwasababu, Nimeona. When the presence of God comes near, people begin to fear. Because they see God is more holy and more awesome than they imagined. That God is not a man. He is not like you or me. He has none of the corruption, none of the carelessness about sin, none of the weakness. But He is completely different. He is separate, high, holy, majestic and glorious. And then a person who is becoming spiritually alive, that person starts to say, how can I deal with this holy God? How can I come near to this majesty, to this King? They start to say, go away from me. Because I will die, I will perish in the presence of this Holy One. The light shines into the darkness and it exposes the darkness. You know, if we were here in the middle of the night and we could see nothing, we wouldn't know what kind of room this is. When the light shines in the day, you can see all the dirt and all the dust. You can see what's really there. When God comes near, He shines into our hearts. Then we say, like the prophet Isaiah, we say, woe to me, I'm ruined. My eyes have seen the Lord, and I'm a person who's unclean. My lips are unclean. Everything about me is unclean. And yet I've seen the Lord. How can I live? Have you had that experience yet? Has that yet happened to you? Have you really seen something of the true God? And you've begun to be a bit afraid. Or more than that, you've begun to feel some terror. Because the Lord is terrible in His holiness towards us. Christ the Holy One. That's what we're seeing in this passage. Christ the Teacher. Christ the Lord of creation. And Christ the Holy One. But then something else. Verses 10 and 11. There was good news for Peter. Why was he showing this to Peter? See, it wasn't to destroy him. It wasn't to make him run away in fear. Alejibu usiogope, stariaku. I've not come to drive you away, but I've come to call you. This was the moment of his calling. That Simon and the others were now to leave behind their fishing and to come into a different work with Jesus. Now they knew who Jesus was, they were to leave it behind. God calls some people into full-time work for him. To trust him and serve him as ministers of the gospel. When this church grows, we want to be able to support our brother Abraham, to be able to spend more time on preaching the gospel and less time having to get bread for his family, because we believe he's a man that God has gifted to preach and evangelize others. And so it will be good when he can do that with more of his time and spend less of his time trying to pay his bills. Some people are called in that way. Now, Jesus didn't call these men into a Bible college for the next 3 or 4 years, and he didn't call them to start wearing suits. They were still to be Galileans, they were still to be themselves. But their training was to be that they walked with him. They saw the things he was doing. They heard his teaching. They saw how he would serve the people. They would understand the gospel, so they could preach it to others. They would see his kingdom, that it was not a kingdom that was coming from this world, but a different kind of kingdom. They would see how the kingdom would go forward. They would talk with him. They would ask him questions. Say, Lord, why are you doing this? Lord, why not something different? Explain to us, Lord. And his example of his teaching and his godliness, would instruct them the way to go, the way of service. And what is the work of a Christian minister? What is the work of an evangelist? The apostles are evangelists. It's in verse 10. The work is to catch men. To be fishers of men. That is the work which evangelists are to do. And whether you're in the Sunday school with the children, whether you're with your neighbours, talking about the Bible with them, or whether you're preaching in public, whether I'm preaching in this gospel service, the aim is to catch men, to win them to Jesus, to draw them to him. Have you been drawn to Jesus? Have you been won by Jesus? Are you caught by him? Could you say, I'm one of those fish. He took me in his net. He brought me to himself. Now I'm his. Or are you still kind of swimming around? You can see the net. But you haven't been caught by him yet. You're not yet his. The great lesson for Peter and Andrew, James and John, the great lesson was the success depends on Jesus. They toiled all night. They got nothing. They used all their wisdom, all their powers as fishermen. Perhaps their fathers trained them too in this work and taught them how to catch. But everything they knew, everything they did, they got nothing. But when Jesus said, put your net over there, well, they nearly sunk the boats. And that's how it is in the church as well. All our labours, all our wisdom, it can't catch a single fish. But when Jesus works in and through us, when Jesus guides us to his time and his place, the catch will be so great. Our job is just to obey Jesus. It's the job of every Christian. We don't say, well, Jesus, that's not going to work. Your commands, they don't seem right for this situation. So let me just try my own way. And that's the way to catch nothing. Do what Jesus says. No. Be a great catch. He's the Lord of the catch. Sometimes we use these words, the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one who will help us to bring in the fruits. But he's the Lord of the catch as well. We should call him that too. 3 years later, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. What happened on that day? He had a great catch. 3,000 souls were saved and came into the church. 3 years later. For 3 years he walked around with Jesus. He saw people rejecting Jesus. He toiled with Jesus. And he just saw people turning away. And just so small a group of disciples. But then, on the day that Christ chose, like he cast out his net on the other side, after the cross and the resurrection, he threw out his net and 3,000 souls were caught and became disciples of the Lord Jesus. We must be patient. In the day of Jesus' power, there'll be such a catch. We'll say, how will we cope? All these people, what will we do now with them? There's so many of them. Well, Jesus had not come to destroy Peter. That power over the world was going to work for Peter, not against him. Jesus came into the world to die on the cross. He didn't come to crush us and to drive us down into hell for our sins. He came to be crushed. He came to die so that by his risen power, he could save us. Bring him to himself. Have you seen the true Jesus? Have you seen his love to us? Yes, Peter was a sinful man. Yes, sinful men should go far away from the Lord. But that's not what Jesus wants. He wants to save us. He wants to use his power to forgive us and to make us his servants. And that we also can play our part in catching men. Has he caught you yet?